Good morning and happy Easter. Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
So thank you to Jennifer Cameron for that reading. So I'm not going to lie. This is not the Easter that I had been planning on. It's not the Easter I expected. And it's not the one that I want. And I suspect it's not the one that you were planning or expecting, or even the one that you want. But the good news is that it is the one that we have been given. It is the one that has shown up. And yes, I did say good news. Easter is always good news. All those years ago, on that first day of that new week, as dawn was just breaking in, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they made their way to see the tomb where Jesus, dead now for a few days, where he had been laid, with that stone rolled in front, punctuating the end of the story. Why were they going there? Who knows? Maybe it was to get some sort of closure on that crazy, life-changing adventure that they'd been on with their rabbi these past few years. Maybe it was to make sure that his body was being treated with respect. Other gospel writers note that they wanted to prepare the body with the prescribed spices. But Matthew is curiously intent on just letting the question of why they went, just letting it linger, just says they went to see. And what did they expect? Well, probably the normal expectations of visiting a tomb or a grave. What did they expect to see? Who knows? But we can be pretty certain of what they did not expect. They go to see the tomb, but they most certainly did not expect that suddenly a great earthquake. They certainly did not expect that behold, what was once stable, reliable, predictable footing, the very ground is now shaking and quaking beneath their feet. And they certainly did not expect to see someone coming down out of heaven, down from the heavens, crackling with energy and electricity, blindingly bright. And even then, with all of that, I can't imagine that they would have expected that same someone, in a profound display of confident and authoritative power, to roll back the stone that had served to punctuate the end of that whole story with Jesus, and then to just sit there on it as if he had just pulled up a chair to have a chat with some friends. And they certainly did not expect the guards, the best and the toughest of the powers that be, those tasked with guarding the dead, now themselves trembling and quaking like the ground before them, falling over like dead men, those guarding the dead, now very much like the very dead they were supposed to be guarding. And they most definitely did not expect, given all of this, that the first words out of the bright, sitting calmly on the stone, recently descended from heaven and flashing and crackling with energy, someone, they definitely did not expect the first words out of his mouth to be, "Don't be afraid." Right? Unexpected. Because if you ask me, given the scene that has played out before them, if there was ever a time when fear was not just understandable, but even the absolute right response, that is it. But even so, all of that is nothing compared with what they absolutely, definitely, and certainly most of all did not expect. "I know you're looking for Jesus. Dead and buried and sealed in this tomb, Jesus. But he's not here. Take a look, it's empty. He is not here." Now, I have no idea what these two faithful women, Mary and Mary, what they had dared hope for. I don't know what they wanted when they got up that morning, and I don't know what they had planned to do once they got there. But I can tell you what they did not plan or expect: the empty echo of that tomb. They thought they knew where they would find Jesus, or at least find his body. They knew where he had been put, and so they knew where they could expect to find him. So perhaps it is, in fact, good news that our churches are empty this morning. I did not say easy news. I said good news. As I stand here, seeing the emptiness of our sanctuary, I hear its empty echo, and feeling the weight of its emptiness. Well, for one, I certainly need to hear those words: "Do not be afraid." On the day when you and I and all of us have come to expect and plan for the sanctuary to be full and even overflowing with people, its emptiness is deafening. And it pulls the rug out of all the normal, stable, reliable, predictable way of things. And perhaps this is a good thing for us. Again, not an easy thing, but good nonetheless. Because now, probably for the first time, we come to Easter with none of those trappings. Right? None of the expectations. We come with dashed hopes and a big old question mark on all of our plans. Perhaps for the first time, we can receive Easter like Mary and her friend Mary, who think they know where they are supposed to go to find Jesus, right there where he had been left, where they knew they could always show up and find him, such as he was. Show up and perhaps reminisce a little bit. Tell some stories about the things that he did or he said. and then slowly learn to continue going about their days. But they showed up this time, and it was empty. And all they are left with is a mission. Come, see the place where he lay. Come see the place where you thought you would find him, but the emptiness is now startling. So then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Friends, let this Easter shake and quake us with the fact that the resurrection of Jesus, it better be far truer than any of our expectations, plans, or traditions about it. For we do not make Easter. No, family, it is Easter that makes us. And if Jesus were still dead, then of course we would know where to show up. We'd find whatever's left, share some memories and some nice stories, and then learn to just go back about our business. But this year, at least, the hard news is that right now I stand in an empty sanctuary. But the good news is that empty sanctuaries or not, Easter dresses and bonnets and suits or not, soaring choral anthems or not, regardless of any of that, Jesus is risen. Jesus was not where they thought he would be because he had been raised from the dead. And now Mary and Mary are given a mission to go tell the disciples themselves on that first Easter morning, closed off in their own little room, trying to figure out what to make of it all and what to do next with all the uncertainty and anxiety that you can imagine. And so Mary and Mary are called to go deliver that first Easter proclamation, not to a jubilant, well-dressed group of people in a crowded sanctuary, but to a small group of folks, probably overly stressed and most definitely tired of being stuck together in that room, worried about the future. And that is the place where the surprising, unexpected good news that the one who was crucified is alive and has been raised from the dead, that is the place where that news first breaks in and breaks through. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. But that's not all. Tell them also that indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And it's on their way as they're running from that empty place, running away from the empty place to go tell those that are confined and stuck in that room, that they run right into Jesus. Again, not at all where they expected to find him. Do not be afraid, he says. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Do not be afraid. Go, tell, and you and they will see me. Y'all, Jesus is risen. And if it were just a nice story to get together and tell once a year or once a week, then we are to be pitied, because this year the sanctuary is empty. But if the tomb was really and truly empty, and it was, then the emptiness of the sanctuary, still not easy, but listen, the emptiness of the sanctuary cannot overcome the emptiness of the tomb. And so wherever you are, whatever home or room you find yourself tired of being stuck in, like those first disciples, Listen to the testimony of these first witnesses and preachers. The tomb is empty, and Jesus has been raised from the dead and is going ahead of you. Yes, to Galilee, but also, friends, into each and every new day, each new twist and turn up and down of life. He goes ahead of you, and he will show up even along the way to meet you. Because he is alive, and the tomb is empty. There was another early Christian preacher, not quite as early as the Marys, but pretty close. In fact, he was one of those guys that was huddled and anxious in that room that the Marys went to go tell. And a little bit later, he himself is preaching about this very thing. In Acts chapter 10. He's preaching about Jesus and his life, and then he proclaims they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day. Friends, if ever there was a sentence that we would expect to be the end of a story, this is it. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. That is the type of sentence that gets punctuated at the end, not just with a little tiny dot, but with a stone big enough to seal a tomb. But this time, whatever was expected at the end of that sentence, it just gets rolled away. Jesus was dead and buried, but God raised him. And you can almost hear in that every sentence of Peter's life, the punctuation being rolled away. He was my friend and teacher, and I denied him when it mattered the most. But God, we were stuck, anxious and stressed and scared in a room. But God, we could not see the way forward. But God, nothing had turned out the way we had hoped or planned or even wanted. But God raised Jesus from the dead. Listen, family. Jesus has been raised. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And if Jesus is alive, then the expected endings of all our sentences are rolled away like so many stones from the front of a tomb. And I know that we are living in stressful, fearful, anxious, and even sad times. It is not easy. It's not what we want. And the reality and the hard truth is that it might get worse. It might. It might get worse. But God, family, but God, the tomb is empty. Jesus has been raised. Sin and death are conquered enemies. Yes, enemies still, painful enemies still, but conquered nonetheless. As bad as it gets, whatever's the circumstance, but God. I know that some of you worshiping with us now have lost loved ones because of this virus. I know some of you have lost jobs, or you have friends or family who are sick, or you wake up wondering if you'll have a job by the end of the day. And I know that some of you have other stuff, serious stuff, other health or job issues or any number of serious things going on, and it feels like you're getting just glossed over and tossed aside now because of this virus. And I know that all of us are carrying anxieties and fears, sorrows and worries. Some of the other gospel writers, they talk about the women as they're going to the tomb, how they're carrying spices with them. But you better believe that they were also carrying all those same things that we're carrying now. They showed up carrying all of that. expecting not just the end of the sentence, but the end of the story. But it had been rolled away. Jesus was dead. But God, family, whether sanctuaries are full or empty, listen, Jesus is either risen or he's not. And if he's not, good luck to us, because the sanctuaries are empty. But if he is risen, if he is alive, then that means that whatever the worst is, in one way or another, the end of that sentence is rolled away. We may be afraid, but God. We may be anxious and worried, but God. The sanctuary is empty, but God. Online schooling at your kitchen table may be a mess in more ways than one, but God. You might not know how you're going to make it through another day of this, but God. Jobs may be lost, but God. Death. Death will show up sooner or later. We don't like to talk about it, but that's the truth. Sooner or later, it will show up. But God shows up first, and the risen Jesus here shows us that God also shows up last. Jesus, in his resurrection, he is the first fruits of our resurrection. Family, Jesus is risen. The resurrection means, in the words of Frederick Buechner, it means that the worst thing is never, ever the last thing. One final thing here. It was Jesus' body that was broken and given. And it is this very same body that is raised to new, resurrected life. The church right now, which is also called the body of Christ in the world, it has in a way itself been broken apart and just scattered. Rather than all together in our sanctuaries this Easter morning, scattered in houses and nursing homes and apartments and condos all throughout neighborhoods and cities. And I am reminded of how Jesus once said, the kingdom of God is like yeast. It gets worked in all throughout, and then it begins to bubble up. Perhaps this Easter, our empty sanctuaries can remind us of the empty tomb and the risen Jesus' command to go and to find him where he has called us to be. Loving our neighbor, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, healing the sick, visiting the lonely, comforting the grieving, and proclaiming the good news that the tomb is empty and salvation and redemption are here. Yes, some of those things may not look at all like what we're used to, visiting and welcoming, for example. Those might have to look totally different for a while, but we better believe that Jesus is alive and loves to surprise us and show up in and lead us into all sorts of new and unexpected places. And so perhaps, like those first preachers, on that first new morning, running from the empty tomb with both fear and joy, running to go tell the disciples to meet Jesus. He will be where he told you he would be. We too may yet encounter, right here in our own fear and joy, we too may encounter the risen Christ in our midst as we go to where he has called us to be. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He is risen. Friends, Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Amen.